Hello and welcome to Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God with Eric Green, author, producer, songwriter, recording artist, and senior pastor of the Father's House in Eugene, Oregon. I'm your host, Cody Willis, and I'll be facilitating this podcast and interviewing Pastor Eric on a variety of topics pertaining to our walk with God, the ministry of the gospel, and the practical outworking of our lives in Jesus Christ. So, thank you for joining us for a lively discussion that we hope challenges and inspires you to think more deeply and biblically about your relationship with God and men. Most importantly, Pastor Eric believes we should all be learning more and more about our God because he has a beautiful purpose and a plan for you. In today's episode, The All-Consuming Fire, I'm here with Pastor Eric Green of the Father's House in Eugene, Oregon. And Pastor, we're going to be talking about fire today, more specifically, the fire of God. So I guess it'll be no surprise if this conversation burns a little bit, no pun intended.
Looking forward to it, Cody. Let it burn.
So Pastor, it says in Deuteronomy 4:24 and in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. And I'm just reminded of several examples throughout the scriptures, the burning bush where the Lord revealed himself to Moses, the pillars of clouds of fire in the desert as the Lord led his people out of Egypt, chariots of fire that carried away Elijah, the Lord descending upon Mount Sinai and fire in Exodus 19. Just a few examples, Pastor, but I'm just curious, what is it about this fire? Why does the Lord choose to reveal himself to us in this way?
Fire, Cody, is an element, as you just rightly pointed out, that typifies our God. It's not the only way God typifies himself, but fire is one of those motifs that he used and something that we should pay attention to. And I think the point of fire and the point of God describing himself as such is that fire separates. Among other things, we know that fire burns. We know that fire will destroy. We know that fire is a wonderfully useful substance. It is a phenomenon that is almost unparalleled when we think of how it is used and the benefit that it is, and also the gravity with which we must handle it, because it is a very powerful thing. And while it is so useful, it also can be quite destructive. As such, you know, we look at God as a consuming fire. That is a good and wonderful thing, but it is also a fearful thing. The scripture tells us clearly it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a holy God. And what that means is he's awesome and he's holy. He's separate from us. And it is like fire. Fire separates. Fire separates the pure from the impure. Fire separates that which can be consumed by fire and that which can't. And God is using that motif as a picture for you and me, that he has consecrated, separated us unto himself. And the fire that he uses as it pertains to believers is different than the fire as it pertains to unbelievers. We're going to get into that, I'm sure. But for us that believe, that fire separates us from everything that is not fireproof. God is fireproofing my life. He's fireproofing your life, because there's a day we'll stand before him and everything that can burn will burn. So it's important that we come before God in that day with that which has already been separated unto him as by fire, so that we don't have a life and testimony that will perish, but we have one that will stand through the scrutinizing fire that is our God.
Pastor, John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So when I read that, it seems to me that the Holy Spirit and fire are synonymous with one another. You mentioned a moment ago that this fire is a fearful thing. And I just want to share briefly, Pastor, because I remember when I first began walking with the Lord, and the Lord led me to this church. And I remember being around spirit-filled men for the first time, and I remember being scared. I remember being very uncomfortable. So can you just talk about this fire of the Spirit and his saints? Because I think it's really important, and perhaps may be helpful for someone who's listening to us.
Yes, God is looking for in us closeness, intimacy, fervency in our relationship with Him, the attention that we pay to the things that He says and to who He is and who we are in Him. It is a fiery thing in that, once again, it burns away everything that's unlike Him. Those things perish in His presence. And when the Holy Spirit is alive in us, it is like a fire. It is like that which goes through us and consumes the thoughts and the habits and the affections that are, once again, not fireproof. They're consumable, and it will be consumed because God would have us come to Him pure as He is pure. The scripture says those of us who are in Him purify ourselves. We expose ourselves to the presence and the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We pay attention to the one who is alive in us. We set the flesh aside. We set the world aside. We set ourselves aside so that the Holy Spirit can rise up in us and live the life of Christ in us. And that life is a very positive life. It's a very energetic life. It accomplishes what God is after. It is very, very much something that can be registered. And that's a difficult thing for people who don't have that fire, who don't have that adherence to the things of God, the Word of God, the house of God, the people of God, like some of us do, the closet of prayer. Those of us who have that, we are on fire for God. And it is an uncomfortable thing for Christians who aren't on fire to be around those who are. Now, we're not on fire so that we can go around and make any point of our own. We are just simply displays of what happens when God gets His hands on a life and lights us a flame. Jesus speaks of this when He says, no one lights a lamp and sets it under the table, but sits it on the table so that it can bring light to the room. That's what you and I do. God sets us where He wants us, and wherever He sets us, there's one thing for sure. He wants that room to be lit because of the fire that we are when the Holy Spirit is having His way with us.
Pastor, I just want to double down on this because I think it's so important to fully understand that the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, is a point of great discomfort to our flesh. And one thing that I wish someone had told me about God, or that I wish I just knew a little bit sooner, and something that I've heard you say is, it's hot in here. And when I heard you say it, you were just referencing the fact that oftentimes people will say, oh, Pastor, I want to be around you, or I want to walk with you. But the reality is, it's hot in there. That's such an important point of understanding, because once I knew that, I knew that I needed to press into this fire, this heat, this discomfort, rather than trying to avoid it.
It is very difficult to be around someone who's serious about God if you're not serious about God. One thing that I express to my men, the men that walk with me, desire to walk with me, you're considering walking with me, is that I'm a God chaser. If you're not a God chaser, I'm going to frustrate you and you're going to frustrate me. But if we're both chasing after God, if you're imitating me as I imitate Christ, then we have a kindred spirit. Because I believe, once again, this walking with God, being filled with the Spirit, is a very positive, energetic thing. It's a moving thing. It changes things. And that's what fire does. And once again, it separates. And when God separates a man or group of men or group of women unto Himself, they're not like others, not even other Christians. They are drawn away to God, and once again, it's hot in there because where Jesus is, that fire is burning in fullness. And when Jesus is in us, it is not necessarily a comfortable, warm thing, because I don't believe God is into warm. God is into hot. I think one of the real dangers in a church is that our churches become warm, welcoming places. I want to say this well. I'm not saying a church shouldn't be welcoming, but I'm saying I've always believed that church is Satan's favorite hiding place. Or should I say religion is Satan's favorite hiding place? One of the reasons is because churches are warm places. The people are loving, the people are kind, and the message is true, and it is pure, and it is wonderful. And we can go along to get along and to draw the world and draw people into the goodness and kindness and sweetness of our God. And God is holy. And the soul that sinneth will die, the scripture tells us very clearly, that no man is going to come before the Lord in any other condition than covered by the blood of Jesus and be received and accepted. No goodness of my own, no effort of my own to do good and to give back is going to please God. God's standard is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire to separate us unto himself. And when those who observe us want to be with us, what they realize is just how all pervasive our relationship with Christ is, and it makes it difficult for those who don't have that kind of relationship with Christ to be around those of us who do. I always say Spirit-filled people see through walls. And so it's difficult to be around Spirit-filled people, people who are on fire for God, and to have that which to hide, because the lights and the heat draws all those things out. I just want to give one more picture that I think would be helpful. Remember in the book of Acts, when Paul was a prisoner and he was on a ship that ended up being shipwrecked, and they came up on the Isle of Malta, and they were treated well by the natives there. And it was cold, so they built a fire. And as Paul was gathering sticks, there was a serpent, a viper, that attached itself to his hands and bit him and poisoned him. And every one of the natives in particular who saw that expected Paul to fall out and die, because this viper was very poisonous. And their assessment was, God's desire that this man not live, because he's surely going to swell up and die. But Paul kept going on about his business, because he shook the viper into the fire. Paul had a fervent relationship with the Lord. And when the enemy attacked him, he was able to shake him off into the fire of his faith and his intimacy in God. The question is when the viper, so to speak, comes and attaches himself to us, do we have a fire to shake him off into? Or is our fellowship and our relationship with God a warm one? And we know that vipers love to pull up to what's warm, and they're cold-blooded, and they like to pull up to what's warm-blooded. Are we warm-blooded, or are we on fire for God? That's an important question, and that's a distinction between those who are on fire for God and those who are not.
Pastor, that's such a tremendous encouragement for me, and it reminds me of something you said to me some time ago when I was going through a particular difficulty. And you told me to shake the snake. So if you're listening to us now, be encouraged with those words, because the fire of the Holy Spirit is real. And just like Paul did, you too can shake that snake into the fire. So Pastor, I just want to move on here a little bit. It says in Mark Chapter 9:49, Jesus said, "For everyone will be salted with fire." And then in Matthew 3:12, and this is the second part of the passage that I read earlier when John the Baptist was addressing the people, he said, "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." There's much discussion, Pastor, even outside the faith, about the fire of hell, which is undoubtedly real. Yet here Jesus says, everyone will be salted with fire. Can you just talk about the stark reality of these words, Pastor?
Yes, Cody. All of us are going to deal with the holy God at one point or another, all of us. And the Bible makes that very clear. The question is, on whose terms are we going to deal with the holy God? And the only terms that are acceptable to a holy God are the terms of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why the Spirit is given to us once we say yes to Jesus Christ, because he is the one who then takes responsibility for shaping us and forming us and leading us and guiding us in the way that we ought to go, so that there is a witness, a true witness to Jesus Christ in the earth. That's the only way that it happens, is that we receive the truth of the gospel and Jesus prays and the Father sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes us by the hand and takes responsibility to walk us in the way that we ought to go. And along the line, all along the line, the scrutiny of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that fire that burns away, once again, that which is not fireproof. God is fireproofing our lives and setting us aside as vessels of honor that he can now trust, that he can now use for his purposes in the earth. And so the fire is not necessarily the fire of destruction for us. It is a fire for separation. For now, for those who don't have Christ, it is a fire of destruction. It is a consuming fire. And that's why it's so important for us who love the Lord not to bring him a bunch of flammable, fleshly works and thoughts and dealings and doings. God is bringing you and me to a place where he set us apart for himself. And he, once again, can use us for his purpose. That is because the scrutiny of God is unrelenting. He is a sweet and kind father, so he will bring us forward with a gentle hand. But he will bring us forward through some things as through fire. In other words, he himself has to grab us and to pull us out of the muck and the mire that we would get ourselves into, pull us out of that which one day he will have to judge. And that's what he's doing in my life, in your life. He's moving you away from thoughts and deeds and behaviors that one day will be judged. And so the scrutiny and the fire that you and I will face is different than the fire that those will face who do not know God. And I want to be sure that today I put my life before God so that whatever needs to burn away, whatever needs to be moved away, I can step away from that voluntarily. God doesn't have to lift me out of a place that I can walk away from, or lift me out of an attitude that if I would just humble myself, that God doesn't have to judge. I don't want to be judged. We all will be. But I want to be judged for the purpose of reward and not for the purpose of having anything that I present to God be burned, because it doesn't measure up to his standard, and his standard is Jesus.
Pastor, you've mentioned a few times throughout our conversation today that the fire separates. And so I just want to quote this passage out of Proverbs 17:3 to bring chapter and verse to that. It says, "The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." But as you were talking, I just thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who in Daniel chapter 3 were cast into the fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't burn. The scripture says they were not singed, their hair wasn't singed, and when they came out of the fire, they didn't smell like fire. We know in that story, Pastor, that they were not in the furnace alone, but one, like a son of the gods, as the word recounts, was there with them. So I'm just struck, Pastor. First of all, my thought is, we're going to do this on God's terms now or God's terms later, but I'm struck that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't spared from the fire. They were cast into the fire, yet they didn't burn. So is the same true for those of us who are separated unto God, that he leads us through the fire now so that we won't burn later?
Absolutely, Cody. God is fireproofing your testimony. Since we all are going to give an account, it is wise and incumbent upon us to bring God that which he will joyfully give us credit for, and not that which he is going to have to turn away and set aside for burning. It is a very, very sobering thing to realize that I can serve God and I can serve him with all of my good sincerity and all of my heart, but I can miss the point altogether if my service to the Lord is not that of the Holy Spirit. And if I somehow or another encroach on what God is doing in my life with my own agenda, with my own goodness, with my own methodology, because God is doing things in me that only he can do. If I surrender myself to him, then God will use me according to his purposes. And I don't want to bring him things that I've done for him. I want to stand before him and him having done his will through me. That's a distinction that we need to make very clearly. Am I working for God, or is God working through me? Because nothing that I offer God, nothing that has anything to do with that which I create and that I bring about, is going to measure up to his standard. It is going to burn. And I'm determined to stand before God and have as little to burn as possible. None of us in ourselves are perfect, of course. But the God who dwells in us is, and he is doing a perfect work in us. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what you see is those that God had separated them unto himself. He had consecrated them unto himself. and their faith fireproofed them. Their faith in God fireproofed them. Now, we also know that through history, there are those who were cast into the furnace and they did burn. And it's not that their faith was any weaker or any less sufficient. But what matters is not that we pass man's scrutiny or anything here on earth as it pertains to the flesh. You know, if God decides to bring our flesh through the fire, he can and he will. God's doing a perfect work. It's a fiery thing because the Lord is perfect and he is burning away anything that is less than Jesus in you and me, in our doings and our thinking. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing that God is doing that in us, which is perfect.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Things I Wish Someone Told Me About God. We hope you found this discussion stimulating and enjoyable, as well as uplifting. So much so that you'll tell a friend or two and listen in again. Pastor Eric and I will be back with the next episode shortly. Until then, may God bless and strengthen you in your walk with him. On behalf of Pastor Eric, I'm Cody Willis, praying God's best for you.